Right. Now, hopefully, I've got Ahmed Ayoubi on the phone. Can you hear me, Ahmed?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Ah, funny. Miracles and miracles. You are the executive director of Stand By Me, which is an Essex-based charity, which is aiming to provide care and food for children in many countries. So, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about Stand By Me?
Yeah, sure. We are a national charity that is working in seven countries around the world, but we were founded in an Essex garden shed 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And today we operate in seven of the world's poorest countries, from Burma to Colombia to Ethiopia, and we rescue kids from terrible circumstances. Now, some of our kids are orphaned, some are abused, some have been abandoned. The things that you would never want for your children or anyone's children. But beyond their sadness, we also see potential. We see hope. So we pick kids from literally from the streets, from awful circumstances. We dust them down, mm-hmm. and we help them on their own feet. And through the provision of loving parents, education, food, and healthcare, we're taking kids from the streets all the way to university. And they are becoming doctors and engineers and teachers and transforming the society.
Wow.
And over the past 25 years, we've rescued over 10,000 kids around the world. And this has been really primarily because of the support and generosity of people in the UK, primarily in Essex, who sponsor a child and allow us to provide for their individual needs.
Now, I think we should mention that you were founded in, as you said, in 1995 by David Spurdle of Hornchurch, originally as Kids Alive UK.
That's
and
correct.
That was to meet the needs of 60 orphan boys in Lebanon. Uh-huh. And since then, you've been looking after over 10,000 children in 11 countries. Unbelievable.
It is. I mean, I won't take you too much around the story, but I was one of these first mm-hmm. boys that grew up in the orphanage in Lebanon where David started supporting the kids. So the vision of the charity was literally to provide support 50 boys in Lebanon in a mm-hmm. war-torn Beirut. But this man's faithfulness over the years, it's been an incredible journey, and people have really believed and had faith in this organization, and has grown into an organization that provides the best care possible for kids in crisis. And it's been, you know, it's spreading in seven countries. It's beyond belief, if I'm honest, but it's a remarkable work that's happening on the ground because we have amazing people working for us.
But you must be seriously affected by the coronavirus. Tell us how what's happening with that.
Like most people, we've been watching in horror how this virus is spreading all around the world. It knows no boundary or borders. And our focus has been obviously on the kids in our care, in places where really these countries are poorly equipped to deal with the coronavirus outbreak. Mm. And when we, you know, in the UK, we watch on a daily basis. We are watching the news like most people, and we're watching in horror to see how the National Health Service is dealing with this outbreak. And we have the best scientists in the world. Mm. We have the best doctors, and thank God for the National Health Service. But when you start thinking beyond our area, and then if you've ever been to Africa and realize that places like in Ethiopia where, you know, there's 90 million people, less than 6,000 doctors providing care for the whole country, the number of ventilators are not worth mentioning. It's beyond, underneath 100. And really, the families that we care for have no access to water, no soap, no sanitizer. They have no purchasing power because a lot of these families are working today to pay for yesterday's meal.
Mm.
So that idea of telling them to isolate is impossible.
Sure.
So our kids are at a serious risk. And where we work, we've been praying and hoping that because of our isolated areas where we work, there's no network links, we'll be safe.
So which are the places you're working in at the moment, predominantly?
We work in seven countries, but the three places most affected at the moment is Ethiopia, Romania, and Colombia.
Right.
And we work in places that are not easily accessible. We work because this is where the need is most.
Mm.
So we've been hoping and praying that will not happen, but unfortunately, it's arrived, and it's in our areas. And 2 weeks ago, the authorities, rightly so, closed all schools and projects that we run.
Mm.
Which is the right thing to do, but it creates a challenge that we didn't imagine, because Our schools are not just an educational centre, they're a feeding centre. Our kids come for breakfast and lunch. The families are too poor to provide for them. So now there's no school, and I don't use the word as lightly, you know, we have a serious issue of malnourishment and even starvation. There is no adequate mechanism for these families to provide. They're living literally on what we provide for them.
So you're sending out food parcels?
We are. Last 2 weeks ago, we decided to send money in faith, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We send money hoping and praying that we'll get some money back. But we had to act quickly. We sent money, and remarkably, our staff on the ground, we have lots of staff working. They've had access to lots of food at cost price, amazingly. Mm. And we have been providing support for families for the last 2 weeks. Over 1,000 parcels have been given out to families in this area.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So how on earth are you managing to do that? You say you're getting some things at cost price, but you're obviously having to... I mean, I don't know how much you're spending, but it must be these food parcels you're sending out all the time. They're going to cost, don't they?
They are going to cost. You know, and 2 weeks ago we had to take a decision because, you know, when people are suffering here in this country, the people most affected are usually charities, the food banks. These are the people that are most affected. People are more worried about themselves. So when we sent money in advance, I was concerned, to be honest with you, will we be able to... how would we get the money back? How can we sustain this? And you know, amazingly, we launched an appeal 2 weeks ago to raise funds for food parcels, and the response from the public has been outstanding, and it restores your hope in the British public, because there's so many negative stories, isn't there? There's so many people who are taking food they don't need and so on, but yet there is hope in this process. You know, we've been asked. Astonished by the support and messages, people sending, you know, a small amount, big amounts, and these have been a huge encouragement for our staff who are working on the ground in tough conditions. But that lifts the spirit, doesn't it? It does. And you know, and providing 1,000 parcels in a week and a half, to be honest with you, it's been a remarkable task. But there is a lot more to do. We this is the first month. We want to sustain this for the next 6 months, September, because we know this is vital, and we know this is not going to finish tomorrow either. So we, you know, and families don't have the safety net like we have in this country. I was mentioning before that the majority of our kids are living with grandparents. They don't have mums and dads. So we are trying to sustain that family unit to remain together for as long as possible, because if they die, we have a major problems on our hands. Because what do you do with kids who don't have parents? It's a
nightmare. Terrible.
Yeah, it is a nightmare.
So, I mean, these food parcels, how much are they each one?
Well, they cost fairly because it depends on the size of the family that we are supporting. But a food parcel would cost around £40.
Yeah.
We'll provide a family with essential food. Like, we're not talking, you know, major stuff, but stuff that will keep them sustained for at least a month. We'll include things like soap as well to keep them healthy. And we're trying our best to isolate families. And this gives us a chance. As we go to these families, we're doing it in a safe way. Mm-hmm. And we're educating the public, because this is a bit, we're so blessed to have news and radios and TV stations to inform us of the danger. In places where we work, there's no radio, there's no TV. So we are going in there to inform the public. But £40 will provide a life-saving food parcel for a month. It's £10 a week, really. That's what it is.
Yeah. So let's cut to the quick. How can people get involved in this?
Well, people can visit, can make a donation on our website. We have an appeal page, and the appeal page is www.standby.me/food parcels. They can call us on our phone number. That's 01708-442271. And if people want to support on a regular basis, they can sponsor a child with us, and they can do that by visiting our website.
Right. And if they sponsor a child, do they get information about how the child is getting on?
That's what we do the best. We love to connect children and families in this country to link together, and you know, sponsorship is far more than a monthly donation. It's a powerful tool to allow a child, you know, across the world to feel loved and part of the family. And in this country, you know, we have. a good 2,000 families in Essex alone who are sponsoring kids in seven countries, and it's a remarkable relationship that develops, and we love to develop it further with other people joining us.
I mean, it's an incredible reflection on what you've done, that you actually have people who are doctors and in high professions that you've helped literally from these almost destitute beginnings.
It's possible. You know, sometimes we tend to, humanity tends to see the impossible. They focus on the impossibility of things, but we take one child at a time, and we look after the child's full need. We take kids from the streets, and we support them and their families, and we get them to university. We our biggest challenge isn't the fact that we don't have enough teachers. The challenge is we have the best teachers, and our kids are educated so well that we've got so many of them going to university. Mm-hmm. The trick is, how do we fund the university process? Because they're capable. They just need a chance to actually shine and become who we think they were created to be. They were created to be better than their beginnings. Where you start in life is not where you should be. You should finish. There's so much potential. People, all in this country are really impacting kids in ways beyond imagination. And we wish, really, I wish we can fly everybody to see. Or I wish we can bring all the kids here because they'll tell their stories far better than I can. But obviously, that's not possible. So Stand By Me is a mechanism between families here and families in overseas. And the bond is remarkable.
Well, many thanks for that, Ahmed. And once again, that website is allthews.standby.me/foodparcels. Or, of course, you can call Stand By Me on 01708 442271. And, of course, we'll be putting all these details up on the 123 show page later this afternoon. But thanks very much indeed for that. In the meantime, Ahmed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.